Well, as Kathy said, my name is Rochelle Carpenter. I'm the Deputy Outreach Director at Transportation for America, where I have a great privilege of working with our health and rural partners. We work on making sure that the upcoming federal transportation bill provides us with more transportation options, like transit, walking and biking, intercity bus and passenger rail, and more. There we go. I have no personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation during the past 12 months to disclose. As I mentioned, I didn't mention, T4 America is a coalition of more than 500 organizations across the country. One of my roles is coordinating with our health and equity partners, such as the American Public Health Association and PolicyLink, which are on our executive committee. We also work with partners like Upstream Public Health and the American Heart Association, Trust for America's Health, the Prevention Institute, the National Complete Streets Coalition, Safe Routes to Schools National Partnership, and many, many more. The reports you see on the screen are all written by organizations on our executive committee. Drawing on some slides I borrowed from Dr. Robert Cervera from the University of California, Berkeley, and Active Living Research, I'd just like to take a moment to mention some recent research that informs our healthy transportation agenda. We and our partners recognize that health and transportation are inextricably linked, and that transportation policy is indeed health policy. Research has shown that transportation affects physical activity and even obesity rates and associated chronic diseases. Respiratory conditions like asthma, access to healthy foods and healthcare services, and more. One interesting study actually found that driving is a risk factor for obesity, as those who drove the greatest number of vehicle miles traveled were more likely to be obese than those who drove fewer vehicle miles traveled. That was a study out of California on the left there. There are also a number of research studies, some for which I have graphs displayed on these slides, that show that meeting the recommendation of 30 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity is more likely among those who commute by public transit compared with car commuters, or those who live in neighborhoods that were considered to have high walkability designs, so streets on a grid or sidewalks even, shorter distances to your essential destinations, small blocks, that kind of thing, as opposed to neighborhoods that are not considered walkable. Other studies have shown that physical activity benefits of public transit users walking to and from transit are higher in neighborhoods with more racial and ethnic minorities, possibly because these populations are more actually to actually walk to transit rather than drive for various reasons. And I also just want to mention recent research coming out of Charlotte, North Carolina, and published in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine, found that after a light rail system was built in Charlotte, people using the system reduced their weight by an average of 6.45 pounds compared with their weight prior to the completion of the rail line. And in addition, the public transit users were 81% less likely to become obese over time. And even just this morning on NPR, there was a story on weight loss, and they talked about research that found that the commonality among people who had succeeded in keeping weight off was that they were able to be physically active for 60 minutes or more, 6 days a week. And I know for a lot of us, it's hard to get 60 minutes, 6 days a week, let alone the recommended 30. So we are working, knowing that for those with busy lives, just making the routine to bike and walk as part of our daily lives, as part of our daily commutes, getting to jobs, getting to work, getting to the grocery store, helps us get to that 60 minutes a day to keep off weight, or that 30 minutes a day as our physical activity recommendation. So just a bit about the federal transportation bill. The federal transportation bill is typically passed by Congress every 5 to 6 years. The transportation bill authorizes federal funding for state departments of transportation, metropolitan planning organizations, rural transportation planning organizations, and tribes to do transportation projects all across the country. This is a very massive bill. The last authorization, called Safety Lou, authorized $286 billion over 6 years of transportation investments. Federal funding comprises about 25% of all transportation funding in the country, It is paid for by the federal gas tax, although in the past few years, shortfalls in gas tax funding have required Congress to transfer money from the general fund into the Highway Trust Fund. And as I'll get into in a moment, persistent transportation funding challenges remain the primary reason that Congress has not yet passed a new federal transportation bill. Safety Lou expired for the first time on September 30th. Just going to back up later. 2009, and to keep money flowing to the states, Congress has extended the law 8 times since then. The most recent extension is set to expire on March 31st, 2012, and both the House and the Senate are currently negotiating a new transportation law. There are totals of 6 committees with jurisdiction over the transportation bill. On the House side, the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, chaired by John Mica from Florida, writes the bill, and the Ways and Means Committee, chaired by Congressman Dave Camp from Michigan, figures out how to pay for it. Congressman Raha from West Virginia is the ranking member on T&I, and Congressman Sandra Levin is the ranking member on Ways and Means. In the Senate, 4 committees actually have jurisdiction, and they write different parts of the bill. Senator Barbara Boxer from California is the chairs the Environment and Public Works Committee, which writes the highway section of the transportation bill. And although it is the highway section, it does include some funding for biking and walking, like a program called Transportation Enhancements and Safe Routes to School. Senator Johnson from South Dakota is the new chair of the Banking Committee, which writes the transit section of the bill. Senator Baucus is the chair of the Finance Committee, which figures out the financing. And Senators Inhofe from Oklahoma on the Environment and Public Works Committee is the ranking member. Senator Grassley from Iowa on the Finance Committee is the ranking member. And Senator Shelby from Alabama is on the Banking Committee. These are the current members of the Environment and Public Works Committee, which, as I'll get mentioned in a moment, is about to cause a lot of excitement in the transportation world. Yay. this slide just shows, sorry, these are a little out of order. This is what happens when we have to submit these a week ago. Here. This slide just shows how we slice up our federal transportation dollars. 80 cents of every federal dollar goes to the highway program, and 20 cents goes to the transit program. And I'll go back to... So on July 7th of this year, Chairman Mica revealed an outline of the House Transportation Reauthorization Proposal that called for $230 billion over 6 years, which actually would have amounted to a 33% cut compared to the current law safety law. There was significant pushback from transportation stakeholders, everybody from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to AFL-CIO, opposed a dramatic reduction in funding as this would have done. So the Transportation Infrastructure Committee continues to pull together the money to fund a full 6-year bill, although we can be assured the remaining funds will not come from a gas tax increase. While the House still appears to be a long ways off, the next few weeks might actually prove to be quite eventful on the Senate side. The Environment and Public Works Committee is scheduled to vote on their 2-year, $109 billion transportation authorization next Wednesday, November 9th. This will only be a 2-year bill because there is not enough sustainable funding to do a full 6-year bill. And even a 2-year bill is going to require an additional $12 billion that the gas tax is not projected to bring in. Funding problem. Here are some figures showing the vast shortfalls in funding we are facing as the House and Senate write their bills. Chief for America has been advocating for a healthier transportation agenda since we first started 3.5 years ago. You might be more familiar with policies like Complete Streets and Safe Routes to School, which our partners like the National Complete Streets Coalition and the Safe Routes to School National Partnership work on at national, state, and local levels. The Complete Streets Coalition works to advance Complete Streets policies in order to make roads safe and accessible for all users, including transit users, bicyclists, pedestrians, drivers. Safe Routes to School, their mission is all in the name. They work to make sure that kids can safely walk to school. In polls and focus groups that T for America has conducted, perhaps not surprisingly, the public is supportive of transportation policies that allow people, especially kids, to walk safely walk, and federal programs like the Safe Routes to School make this possible in countless communities across the country. Our polling and focus groups have also shown that the public demands more accountable spending of our transportation tax dollars. To meet that demand through federal transportation policy, T for America is primarily focusing on two areas. One is the maintenance and repair of roads and bridges, which we've gotten a lot of attention on recently since that's part of the President's Jobs Act. And we've re-released a new porch report showing that on average 11% of our roads and of our bridges, are structurally deficient, which means it doesn't mean they're not safe, but it does mean that they do need immediate repairs. We also like to mention that there are now more structurally deficient bridges than there are McDonald's in this country. The other policy we'd like to see in the transportation bill is one that improves the transportation planning process done by metropolitan areas by meeting goals related to air pollution reduction, active transportation levels, the time it takes to commute to work, traffic crashes, maintenance and repair of our roads and bridges, and more. We are basing our policy on scenario transportation planning that has already occurred in places like Salt Lake City, Charlottesville, Virginia, Sacramento, Chicago, and a lot of other places. And then we're also working on freight policy that reduces emissions and associated health impacts around ports and along freight corridors. Health disparities such as greater cases of cancer around low-income and minority communities around ports have been seen in research studies. This health and environmental justice issue is something that can be addressed in federal policy that prioritizes a reduction in harmful emissions from ports and freight lines. Okay, so I have 1 minute. So I will just speed through our dangerous pedestrian safety status that we have. You can barely make out the pedestrian in the crosswalk there. We also have released a report first time in November 2009, and then we released it again in May of this year. Basically found that communities that were primarily built after World War II have higher rates of pedestrian fatalities. Because during that time, we were more geared toward designing our roads so that people can get out farther away from the city center and at faster speeds, and we left out the pedestrian. So we are absolutely working on preserving dedicated bicycle and pedestrian funding through transportation enhancements, safe routes to schools, and other programs with our partners. Oh. Guess it does that.
It's not very easy to drive on either.
Right. Yes, I was on a road like that not that long ago. It wasn't very pleasant. And what killed me was that they were actually saying this was transit-oriented development, promoting that in this area. And I'm like, really? I don't want to be walking there. So here's just some data from our Dangerous by Design report, which you can check out on our website. This breaks it up by various populations, including older Americans and minorities. Okay, so lastly, I'll just skip through that. All right, the one on the left is better for walking. I have 1 minute. So just how to get involved to accomplish a change in the way that we allocate and spend our federal transportation dollars. We do work with our partners to meet with their members of Congress or their staff. This is very important. People do affect a lot of change. Members of Congress do listen to their constituents. And this is one of our primary goals, is to work with our partners, especially in those states that I mentioned before, that have chairmen and members who write the transportation bill. So doing things like meeting with those members of Congress, whether it's here in D.C. or at home in your districts, and sharing the stories that illustrate the need for healthier transportation policies. Some of the reports I mentioned today were to generate media, and that has gotten a lot of attention, very needed attention in this day. And then things like National Walk a Child to School Day on October 5th, events like that are also good at generating awareness. With that, I'll conclude. Happy to answer any questions later.